Chapter 28. Everyone Just Calls Me Richie. Apparently the widow of the rancher Hank had killed was in town arranging with a bank to sell her place. Without her husbands and sons, she no longer could manage it alone. When she saw the three of them ride into town, she followed Bob and Hank into the cantina, walked up behind Hank, and shot him in the head. He died instantly. She then turned both her attention and gun toward Bob. He reacted quickly, throwing the drinks he was returning with in her face. The burn of the tequila had blinded her long enough for him to disarm her. Now not only did she no longer have a family, she would likely hang for Hank's murder. It all seemed so senseless. All this death over one stupid hand of poker. Buck regretted having any part in this mayhem. Killing is one of the things you can't undo. Buck felt he had done enough to last him a lifetime. The sheriff told Buck that he did not have to stick around for the trial. The testimonies of Bob and the bartender would be all that he needed. Buck opted to leave right after Hank's funeral. He rode to Abilene, sold his horse, and bought a train ticket to Wilsonville. The peaceful life of a farmer was looking better to him all the time. Buck had originally set out looking for adventure, but all he wanted now was peace and quiet. He promised himself that when he got home this time, he would stay put. His wanderlust had been completely satisfied. No more running away from his responsibilities. Buck had a lot for which to be thankful. If the widow had followed him to the barbershop, he would be the one dead now instead of Hank. He had a fine farm waiting for him as well, which needed much more of his attention than he had given it lately. When the train pulled into St. Louis, a mother and her son joined his car, occupying the seat directly in front of him. The lad looked about 12. He kept turning around to stare at Buck when he thought that Buck was not paying any attention. He reminded Buck of himself when he first saw Hank Rhodes. That day now seemed as if it was a lifetime ago. Buck could tell that this boy was a city kid. He had probably never seen a real cowboy before. Buck still had on his western wear, down to his dusty boots and his shot-up Texan hat. This farmer from Ohio at least looked the part of a cowboy. Slumping down in his seat and pulling his hat over his eyes, Buck tried to sleep. Yet the young man's constant gaze made Buck feel uncomfortable. He started to chastise the boy for his rudeness. Then Buck remembered how mesmerized he had been at Hank's appearance that first time that he saw him. Instead of hurting the lad's feelings, Buck sat up in his seat, looked the boy straight in the eyes, and asked in his best southern drawl,
"Would you like to hear about some of my adventures in the West, son?"
"Sure would, sir,"
the lad said, as he turned completely around in his seat on his knees. He stuck out his hand and said,
"My name's Richard Ellis, but everyone just calls me Richie."
Buck shook the boy's hand and said,
"My name is Buck Adams, but you can just call me Buck."
The stories fascinated Richie. Buck smoothed over some of the bad parts and played up the good. He never made himself out to be any sort of hero, just a cowboy doing his job. The boy found even everyday cowboy stuff amazing. But the shootout with the four brothers was his favorite. He had Buck repeat it several times so that he did not leave out even the smallest detail.
"Is that the gun you used?"
"As a matter of fact, it is."
"May I hold it?"
"I'd have to take the bullets out, and you'd have to ask your ma if it's okay,"
Buck told Richie, nodding in his mother's direction. It was obvious that Richie's mother had been following their conversation by the way that she had cocked her head slightly to hear. He had even noticed a little shudder in her shoulders when he talked about the shootout. She was not alone. Everyone in the train car was listening to Buck's tale. Yet not everyone found what he said believable, especially a big farmer in the back. He stood a good head taller and outweighed Buck by 30 pounds. The man's larger size gave him the confidence to challenge the truthfulness of Buck's stories. As Buck was telling his tale, the farmer mumbled something negative under his breath several times. However, Buck continued talking and acted as though he had not heard the man. Right after Richie asked to see the gun, this big fellow walked up behind Buck, poked him in the shoulder, and said,
"Why don't you stop telling the boys such whoppers, little man?"
He had barely gotten "little man" out of his mouth by the time Buck sprang into the aisle. He thrust his pistol under the big man's chin with a hammer cock. The farmer's greater physical size meant nothing now. Buck almost squeezed the trigger and scattered the man's brains all over the ceiling. Luckily, Buck regained control of his temper and calmly told the farmer to sit down and leave him be. When Buck withdrew his pistol from under the man's chin, the big farmer backed all the way up to his seat, apologizing as he went. As Buck started to sit back down, he noticed a damp spot in the aisle carpet. Apparently, Buck's actions had frightened the man, who would have been even more so had he known how near Buck was actually to pulling the trigger. Obviously, Buck needed to work on his short temper.